23-9565 Center for Biological Diversity versus EPA. Mr. Mahar, you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, Ryan Mahar on behalf of petitioners, which I'll refer to as the public interest groups. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes of my time for rebuttal, please. Your Honors, in the decision on appeal, EPA approved parts of Colorado's plan for meeting ozone air quality standards, even though the plan had already failed. This unique situation resulted from EPA's and Colorado's delays in developing and finalizing the plan. Now EPA and Colorado seek to force through an inadequate plan in further violation of the Act. They take the expression a day late and a dollar short to a new extreme. Even though delayed, the public is still entitled to the pollution reductions that this plan is required to achieve to protect public health from toxic ozone. While the state and EPA's delayed resulted in a number of serious consequences, I'd like to focus on two specific sub-issues today.
Before you get to that, do we have a plan? They approve part of it, they disapprove part of it. What's the status of a plan if it's still under development by the state for the disapproved elements?
Yes, Your Honor. The serious plan is largely in effect. There are a few disapprovals related to reporting requirements. But the substantive provisions of the plan are fully in effect, as well as the elements before the court, reasonable further progress and the emissions budget.
And because of the timing you just emphasized, the state is obligated to prepare a new SIP, correct, with the severe designation. What's the status of that?
That's correct, Your Honor. The severe plan has been submitted to EPA. It's pending before EPA. EPA's obligation to take final action on the plan doesn't come up for several months.
It'll be in 2025?
December 2024. The attainment date that the severe plan is meant to achieve is July 20th, 2027. The issue is EPA has a long history of delay when it comes to complying with deadlines to finalize severe plans. So we're talking several months before EPA is even obligated to finalize the plan.
Right. What are the practical implications if we rule in your favor in this case?
Yes, Your Honor. First and foremost, vacature of the emissions budget would require EPA to disapprove of the 2020 emissions budget, and Colorado or EPA would have to implement a new serious emissions budget. And I want to emphasize that this is a very live issue because the 2020 emissions budget at issue is controlling transportation projects and their approval currently.
But if that's the case, won't that process be working in tandem with the new SIP for the severe attainment area?
The serious plan is much farther ahead because we've already reached the stages of approval or disapproval for certain elements. But
approval. Won't it have to have RFPs and a budget in the new plan?
Sorry, I missed that question, Your Honor.
Won't the new plan have RFPs and budgets that are aimed towards achieving attainment?
That's correct, Your Honor, but finalization of that new plan is likely multiple years away. And I want to point out, too, with the disapproval of the serious emissions budget at issue, there's nothing preventing EPA from stepping in with a federal emissions budget immediately. The Supreme Court said in EME Homer City that after a disapproval, EPA can step in with a federal plan immediately.
It doesn't have to, though. It's discretionary.
It is discretionary, Your Honor, yes. So there's a two-year clock that starts clicking with the disapproval where the state either has to provide a new plan or EPA has to step in.
If you could just sum up in a sentence or two, what is the remedy that you're seeking and why is it going to accomplish anything in light of the new SIP being developed?
Yes, Your Honor. We're requesting vacature of the reasonable further progress and vehicles budget, which will result in their disapproval and will hasten the process of securing a stronger budget and stronger RFP faster than the severe planning process.
And how would it do that? It's still going to take some time to come up with a revised plan. Is there a deadline there that the state will be under the gun for?
With a disapproval, it would be the two-year clock that starts ticking upon the disapproval. But again, I want to emphasize that, as the D.C. District Court has said, EPA has a nearly unblemished record of missing Clean Air Act deadlines with respect to state implementation plan development. So this,
although that's not your issue here, is it?
It's not, but it reflects on the practical considerations related to the not parallel, but serious and severe planning process in the adoption of the plan.
So your position would be you can't wait just because this 2027 plan is on the horizon, because with EPA's track record, that's probably not going to happen in 2027, so we have to get this one in place as soon as possible.
That's correct. In addition to the importance of maintaining the integrity of the SIP process, because EPA and Colorado have failed five times to produce SIPs that achieve attainment between the 2008 and 2015 ozone NAAQS. That's a five-time failure. Waiting for the severe SIP is not going to be the solution. We need precedent that strengthens the serious SIP and thereby strengthens future SIPs. Unfortunately, we're on track to not meet the severe attainment deadline. The applicable years that are relevant to that consideration are 2024 to 2026. And this summer was one of the worst ozone seasons on record. So the state will have a hard time meeting the severe plan, the severe attainment date. And it's likely that the severe plan will be significantly delayed.
Let me change topics on you a little bit. So I look at this thing, and we're talking about the vehicle budget and the RFP of the SIP. But to get ozone, to reach attainment with respect to ozone, there are other items that are at play also, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
I guess I'm wondering, yeah, we look at this, and these two things did not cause attainment with the air quality standards. But how can we look at just these two things when we're not looking at stationary sources and various other parts of the holistic review that we need to do to reach a decision about the air quality, meeting the air quality standards?
Yes, Your Honor. First, I'd like to point out that this is a problem of EPA's own creation, where it
I'm not blaming you
segments.
For it. I'm not blaming you. I'm just wondering how it works. Even if they did create the problem, I mean, how do we fix it?
Yeah, we're in a universe that has contravened the Clean Air Act's purposes and clear statutory deadlines, where normally, as you say, RFP and the budget would be approved before the plan is supposed to work, well before, along with other SIP elements. However, the segmentation of the individual SIP elements doesn't mean that the individual elements like RFP and budget can be, one, divided from their Clean Air Act requirements, and then, two, diluted to be meaningless. It's a divide and conquer kind of strategy that's really unfortunate. So holding individual SIP elements to their Clean Air Act requirements, even though EPA has taken this segmented approach to approving a plan, is of the utmost importance. Also, RFP is a more important element than EPA gives it credit for, because RFP is setting the emission reductions targets. It's in the driver's seat. And the other elements, like reasonably available control technology, are the parts of the plan that actually achieve emissions reductions. But again, it's RFP that's setting those goals, setting those targets, and for what purpose? The purpose is attainment, and that can't be divided from RFP, and RFP cannot be severed from that objective.
What's the flaw then in EPA's argument that RFP is just an element, you know, a sub-element of an overall plan that's designed to achieve attainment? Because you know, clearly, all these elements have to work in combination to, I don't think anybody would say RFP is just a metric. It's a way to measure progress, right? It's not the end goal. The end goal is whatever the ozone, you know, calculation is going to be. So why can't they approve, you know, parts of it and disapprove other parts of it, which is what they did here?
The reason is because, as I was telling Judge Carson, the purpose of RFP is serving as a goal-setting mechanism. So the other elements of the plan are doing the work, so to speak, and RFP guides those emissions reductions. And it's emission reductions that will bring us into attainment. So without that driving force that's aimed at attainment, actually these other SIP elements are somewhat purposeless, or at least are not designed pursuant to the Clean Air Act's requirements. So I think at bottom, the issue, especially here where 2020 is both an attainment year and a milestone year, is that just relying on simple percentage reductions will not get us to attainment and does not comply with the plain language requirements of the Act.
But does it have to get us to attainment? It seems that the EPA is suggesting that these incremental reductions are designed to essentially help get there, to reach attainment, but they make this sort of fine distinction between being designed to reach attainment and actually pushing through and pushing Colorado into attainment. Does that make sense?
Yes, Your Honor. I notice I'm eating into my rebuttal time, but I would like to answer the question.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, so one reason this case presents a unique circumstance is that 2020 is both the attainment year and a milestone year. So normally, in the way the Clean Air Act is supposed to work, RFP applies to incremental years that precede the attainment year. So you're slowly chipping away at the goal of attainment, making steady progress, so you don't save all your emissions reductions for the last year, or at least your planned emissions reductions. But here, 2020 is also the attainment year, so there's no more progress to be made. If you don't attain in 2020, you don't attain, and that's exactly what happened here. And again, 2020 is the last year that RFP was meant to achieve emissions reductions as well. So that's what makes this a rare circumstance.
And you know, that's 4 years ago. Has there been incremental progress since the failure to meet the milestone and attainment goals?
RFP has been met in 2020.
Did it achieve the 3% reduction goal?
It did achieve the numerical reductions on paper, and EPA approved that analysis. But we clearly did not achieve attainment, and we're likely not going to again, unfortunately, in 2027.
Right. Okay, let's hear from government.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Welcome. Ms. Brown.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Lucy Brown for the U.S. Department of Justice on behalf of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Joining me at counsel's table is Mike Boydston from EPA's Office of Regional Counsel. The Clean Air Act is designed to gradually reduce emissions over time with increasingly stringent controls to help states attain the National Ambient Air Quality Standards, or NAAQS. This case concerns EPA's approval of discrete elements of Colorado's plan for reducing ground-level ozone in the Denver area, with the overarching goal being attainment of the NAAQS. But as the state is managing the many complex issues associated with regulating ozone, different elements of the plan are designed to ensure that Colorado is moving in the right direction and making incremental progress towards attainment. EPA's role in this process is to review the plan submissions for their consistency with the Act, approve the portions that satisfy the Act's requirements, and disapprove the portions that do not. Petitioners would have EPA throw out the entire plan because Denver did not attain by the applicable date. But doing so would ignore the plain text of the statute and the regulations, which set forth specific severable requirements for certain plan elements, many of which Colorado has met here. When a state does not attain, the remedy is not disapproval of the plan. It is reclassification to a stricter non-attainment designation with more rigorous requirements, which is precisely what's happened here.
What's your response to my question to counsel that what's the practical effect of a ruling in favor of the center in this case, i.e. reinstatement of your serious SIP with RFP and budgets included.
Vacatur would not accomplish the goals that petitioners are seeking here. For example, if this court were to vacate the budgets, during that two-year period that petitioner was referring to that the state has to cure the defect, the budgets would revert back to the prior budgets, which were approved in 2018 and were attached to the moderate area non-attainment designation. So those budgets are actually larger. They would allow for more emissions. And that's precisely the problem here. The purpose of reasonable further progress is to progress toward attainment. And states do this by enacting regulations that form the basis of a prediction that the area will meet these specific percentage reductions over applicable periods of time. And here, Colorado's submission showed that the Denver area would reduce its ozone precursor pollutants, so volatile organic compounds or nitrogen oxides, by 9% over the applicable three-year period. Petitioners advanced this sort of all-or-nothing approach.
Did it meet that goal?
It did, Your Honor.
Will the 3% is a minimum, right? Statutory minimum, correct?
Correct. States are required to submit a plan that shows at least a 3% reduction per year, averaged over 3 years. Right. So,
and for the Denver area, will a 3% minimum ever achieve the attainment goal?
It could, Your Honor, hypothetically, but that's not the situation that occurred here. There are lots of other elements to the plan that contribute to whether the area ultimately attains or not. And the attainment demonstration, which is a separate requirement under the Act, takes that more holistic view of all of the plan elements and using complex modeling determines whether the area will in fact attain by the attainment date. So that's a much broader look at how all of the factors are working together.
Well, under this plan, has there been backsliding? Is the ozone quality getting better since 2018, or is it stable or backsliding?
Your Honor, the ozone quality is getting better, and that's proven by EPA's, or rather Colorado's, milestone compliance demonstration, which is at AR0000138, so that's EPA's approval of their compliance demonstration, that showed between 2018 and 2020, Colorado achieved that 3% annual reduction that was required to show reasonable further progress. And I think it's important to note that the statute also allows states to propose an even smaller reduction of emissions, if that's all that's technologically feasible, regardless of the consequences for attainment. And that's at section 7511A, C2B2. And petitioners advance the same flawed argument for the motor vehicle emissions budgets. So these budgets are tools used to quantify emissions for on-road motor vehicles to make sure that they conform to the goals of the Clean Air Act. So states essentially calculate how many emissions they can allow in a given year and still achieve their goals under the Act. And one bucket of these emissions is allocated to motor vehicles. Petitioners allege that EPA cannot approve budgets once the attainment deadline has passed and the area has not attained. But what the regulations actually require is that when reviewing the budgets, regardless of if it's before or after the attainment deadline, EPA must consider their consistency with reasonable further progress or attainment or maintenance, depending on what the relevant submission is that EPA is reviewing.
Isn't the ultimate purpose of all of this, though, to reach attainment? So the vehicle budgets and the RFPs are all what you try to achieve in order to achieve attainment.
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, so in that sense, doesn't your opponent's argument have some appeal that if you're approving numbers that don't get you to attainment, why approve them at all?
Your Honor, petitioners said that reasonable further progress sets the goals for attainment. And Congress has said that those goals are specific percentage reductions to show that the area is making forward progress. And if Congress had wanted to say that the reasonable further progress meant whatever percentage reduction was required to attain, it would have done so. And EPA adopted the same percentage reductions in its controlling regulations.
Well, now that it's been the classifications moved from serious to severe, the RFP goals are more or higher, aren't they?
Colorado has to show over the next applicable three-year period that they will reach the 3% reduction over each year.
Okay, so it remains 3%. It's not a higher number.
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay.
Could you address his argument about the fact that 2020 was both a milestone year and an attainment year, and how that impacts your argument?
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm a little confused about that one.
Sure. So sometimes the milestone year and the attainment year are different, such as in the NRDC versus EPA case. Mm-hmm. Here, just by the circumstances, they're the same. But the fact of the matter is that the regulations do not say that if the milestone year and the attainment year are the same, then EPA must review the budgets for their consistency with attainment. It really is about the purpose of the submission. And here, EPA was acting on the reasonable further progress submission. And so it reviewed the budgets through that lens.
The Ninth Circuit case didn't really deal with that issue, though, the case you just mentioned, because they weren't separate years in that case.
The court was...
Or they weren't the same year, I'm sorry.
That's right. The court was sort of approaching it from a different perspective, right, because they were different. But the court did say the regulations are clear, and for milestone years, EPA can review the budgets for reasonable further progress purposes. And the reasonable further progress demonstration also comes into play when we are looking at which federal control strategies are causing these emissions to reduce, which kind of brings me to my second point. In the Clean Air Act context, control strategies are devices or restrictions that are placed on an activity that are intended to reduce emissions. Colorado has federal control measures, which are reviewed and approved by EPA, and they become federally enforceable. And it also has state control measures, which are codified in state regulations and are not federally enforceable. So here, EPA was reviewing whether Colorado's federally enforceable control measures would provide the emissions reductions necessary to meet reasonable further progress. So in practicality, it's good to take an example. So oil and gas condensate tanks. These tanks store oil during the oil and gas production process, which we know emit VOCs that contribute to ozone. So the state submitted and EPA approved a regulation that requires operators of these tanks to cumulatively reduce the VOC emissions from these tanks by 90%. So this is a federally enforceable control requirement. That means that if an operator has 10 tanks in its system, for example, it has to reduce the VOC emissions system-wide by 90%. And there are many methods of doing this, such as attaching a physical control device to a tank, which would combust the VOCs before they got to the atmosphere. So Colorado knows that looking at the emissions reductions from these tanks alone, it would have provided 11% reductions in VOCs over the applicable 3 years, which is more than the 9% needed to show reasonable further progress. Colorado did not need to quantify its reductions from state-only control measures to know that its federal measures provided more than enough reductions to show reasonable further progress. And that brings me to my last point, which is that nothing in the record supports petitioner's argument that these plan submissions would interfere with attainment of the NAAQS under Section 7410L. This is an anti-backsliding provision, meaning that EPA cannot approve a plan submission that would move the area backwards in its efforts to attaining, as opposed to forward. It does not impose an affirmative obligation on EPA to approve only those plan submissions that would guarantee attainment. And this is EPA's longstanding interpretation of the provision, which has been affirmed by six circuit courts. It is indisputable that the reasonable further progress demonstration and the budgets moved the area forward toward attaining by setting out how Colorado would reduce its emissions by implementing these federally enforceable control measures.
Let me ask you a question about the state-only control measures. So from what I understood you to say just then, there are some, you have the federally enforceable control measures that you say were resulted in an 11% reduction. There are some state-only control measures on oil and gas in addition to that?
That's right, Your Honor. So just to be specific, the 11% reduction was from the oil and gas condensate takes only. So there were additional federal reductions, but that's just sort of the most straightforward example.
Right. What? Give me an example of what would be a state-only reduction.
I don't have a specific state-only reduction at hand, but I can explain that some reductions are difficult to quantify and therefore wouldn't be included in the plan. For example, there are regulations that require tanks that pick up the oil from the well pads to reduce their VOC emissions. So they could add a device that would combust the VOCs or another device that would reroute them, because when the oil goes into the tank, it displaces VOC emissions. So that's really difficult to quantify regularly because it's hard to know how many emissions are in the tank, what's getting displaced, is it combusted, is it rerouted? That's really hard to measure. Another example is a leak detection and repair. So there's a regulation that requires operators to check their tanks and their lines and make sure that there aren't leaks. If they find one, they have to repair it. Again, this is incredibly hard to quantify with any certainty. And that's essentially what petitioners are asking operators and Colorado to do. Petitioners do not point to anything in the plan that would remove or weaken pollution controls. And that's because the plan did the opposite. It included strengthening measures that were intended to reduce emissions, and that includes amendments to Regulation 7 regarding oil and gas and Regulation 21 regarding consumer products and industrial maintenance coatings. In sum, EPA properly exercised its authority in approving the portions of the plan that satisfied the Act's requirements. If Your Honors have no further questions.
Well, 2020 was the date by which the state or the area was going to achieve attainment, correct? That was the plan.
The plan was to achieve by 2021, but 2020 was the last year that Colorado would measure its ozone emissions.
Do we have a new attainment year?
Yes, Your Honor.
When is that?
That's 2027.
And when will the severe SIP be approved?
So the severe plan has been submitted. It was due in May of this year. And there's a six-month period where EPA determines whether it's complete. And after that, it prompts a series of other deadlines for EPA to take action. So it's sort of contingent on this completeness determination.
Are we going to meet approval before the expiration of the SIP this time?
I don't want to get ahead of the agency. That's always the goal, Your Honor. But the Clean Air Act does set forth very ambitious timelines and goals.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We have some rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd first like to just quote the definition of RFP at 42 U.S.C. section 7501.1, which says, RFP constitutes annual incremental reductions in emissions of the relevant air pollutant as required by this part or may reasonably be required by the administrator for the purpose of ensuring attainment of the applicable standard by the attainment date. And then the ozone-specific portions that apply of the Act that apply to serious areas, specifically 42 U.S.C. 7511A, C2B, provide that at least 3% reductions need to be achieved per year for 3 years for serious areas. At least. And that's the floor. There is a second provision at C2C, which allows for the administrator to approve less than 3% reductions.
Did they meet that the 3% floor?
In what sense, Your Honor?
In the statutory sense.
Well, they need it because they need to set a minimum reduction level, and that's the place to start when it comes to the goal of achieving attainment.
Right, but did they meet the statutory minimum?
Oh, excuse me. They did meet the at least, but they did not meet be for the purpose of ensuring attainment.
Okay.
And that was proven, which again, we're in a unique circumstance where undeniably we have the greatest proof that the RFP and budget didn't work. I'd also like to note that the budget doesn't revert to the 2018 budget. There would not be a budget in effect that would allow for the approval of transportation requirements. Reversion to the 2018 budget would violate Section 110L. And finally, I'd just like to quickly note that...
But if we vacate this one, what something has to spring into...
There would not be a budget for that period, which would be a reason for EPA to act swiftly.
Okay.
Well, that would be the worst-case scenario then, wouldn't it? You'd have no...
No, because it would prevent projects from being approved in the first place. Without a budget, there can't be that comparison made. So it would not allow for unfettered emissions from transportation projects. Rather, they would cease. And this would look like, you know, a project that, or a transportation project that would serve a 10,000 house development in East Arapahoe County or something.
What is the definition of a transportation project?
It's essentially a highway or public transit project that increases emissions. So there are exceptions. Projects could go forward that decrease emissions.
Got it.
And for that reason, we request vacature of the RFP and motor vehicle emissions budget. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Council. We appreciate the arguments. They were helpful. You're excused, and the case is submitted.